entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. For the first time in more than a year, the unemployment rate in America dropped last month. The Labor Department reports joblessness is down 0.2% in July to 6.2%. That's good news on top of more good news after the government announced yesterday that the nation's gross domestic product increased a surprising 2.4%. But in a separate report today, the government said employers cut 44,000 jobs.
Salam, ya Iraq.
A new audio tape purported to carry the voice of Saddam Hussein has surfaced. The voice on the tape urges Iraqis to continue fighting and evict U.S. invaders. As they search for Saddam Hussein, American troops have been given pictures of how he might look in disguise. Former CIA disguise expert Antonio Mendez says Saddam could be very creative.
You know, he's a master of deception, so he's certainly using disguise, I imagine. It's not just his face that he has to worry about. It's the whole man, his whole pattern and profile.
Mendez was on NBC's Today Show. The woman accused of trying to fool a central Indiana family into thinking that she was their long-lost daughter goes to court today. Donna Walker turned herself into authorities in Topeka, Kansas. Police say Walker posed as Shannon Marie Sherrill, who disappeared from her home in Thornton, Indiana, 17 years ago. Lieutenant Jeff Hack, an Indiana state trooper, told NBC's Today Show that Walker has exhibited a devious pattern of behavior.
And quite frankly, this behavior she's exhibited is, she's just a classic bully. I mean, she's played on people that are weak and vulnerable and in a very fragile emotional state. She's done this all over the country.
Indiana prosecutor Todd Meyer told NBC that he has a good case against Walker. IBM will have to change its ways concerning how it handles the future of older employees. The New York Times reports a federal court ruled yesterday that IBM violated age discrimination laws when it changed its pension plan in the 1990s. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is down 46 points, the Nasdaq down 5 points, and the S&P down 5 points.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are an airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the truck.
And where are we going, Vince?
You know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Tire iron.
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
A jury in a closely watched lawsuit against Philip Morris found that a former smoker's lung cancer was caused by smoking but did not award damages against the cigarette company. The Los Angeles jury cleared Philip Morris of liability by finding the company did not mislead ex-smoker Frederick Weller about the dangers of smoking. Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant will make his first court appearance on sexual assault charges next week in Colorado. A Colorado judge yesterday denied Bryant's request to skip his August 6th advisement hearing. Bryant is charged with sexually assaulting a 19-year-old woman in Eagle County.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to tell you about InPhone. I hate asking people for directions. It's embarrassing. So instead, I call InPhone. And the nice operator at InPhone gives me driving directions, phone numbers, movie times, or restaurant reservations. So cling to your independence like I do. Call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Jesse sent you. Call now. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
West African foreign ministries are arriving in the Liberian capital of Monrovia to offer exile to the embattled President Charles Taylor. Alistair Wanklin reports.
The foreign ministers from Liberia's near neighbors have already agreed that more than 3,000 peacekeeping troops should begin deploying next week. But what to do with President Charles Taylor remains undecided. He's reported to have agreed to go into exile a few days after the peacekeepers begin arriving. but he faces charges in the War Crimes Tribunal for Sierra Leone. Meanwhile, humanitarian workers in Liberia say conditions in Monrovia and other districts are deteriorating, with supply lines for food aid now cut off. Alistair Wanklin reporting.
The record industry and online music companies are targeting colleges and universities to help stop online piracy. Executives would offer students free or deeply discounted music if the schools agree to deter piracy on campus networks. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ancient peddlers invented it. Avon ladies made it big. And the high-tech Japanese still do it. If you think door-to-door is passé, when I come back, I'll tell you the latest. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Japan has a reputation for tradition. Even buying cars is done the old-fashioned way, by door-to-door salesmen. But motivated by the recession and consumer demand, dealers are reconstructing their strategy. Nissan plans to open the door to Japan's first large-scale auto mall. And Honda's added a window to the World Wide Web with the introduction of internet-based kiosk. Another tradition breaker? Japan is buying record numbers of American-made parts, opening another door of opportunity. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today. Broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite system. And streaming live on the internet at radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com with archives at whiterosesociety.org. By the way, radiopower.org has been doing a great job collecting this show and doing streams. While we are on many radio stations, actual on-the-ground radio stations all over the United States, we also have a substantial web audience, and which is interesting. I'm not sure that there are a lot of other shows out there that do that, although I know that some are really starting to build that. Rush Limbaugh, for example, has put a lot of effort into his website, and this is a growing trend. But I just wanted to flag you to radiopower.org and let you know the good work, the really, truly good work that those folks are doing, and encourage you to check it out, encourage you to sign on with them, join their mailing list. And they're also doing a fundraiser right now to try and keep the thing alive and keep it going. And it's worth, you know, a contribution to if you're up for it, if you're so inclined. Just FYI. I have nothing to do with them, no affiliation with them. I'm very pleased that they are broadcasting this network, and there are many of the programs of this network, and that they do a great job. And this show, you know, of course, I'm grateful for that. So, is the theft of your vote just a chip away? Boy, is this issue going to be hot. We've got a lot of stuff to cover also in today's news, all sorts of things, and a bunch of emails and threads. And I think I'm going to sprinkle the news throughout the 3 hours here. And in our second hour, we're going to have a special appearance, and I warn you, get earmuffs for the kiddies, because some of the language is rather salty, as they say. And we're going to have a special guest appearance by Richard M. Nixon, former president of the United States, talking with Mr. Haldeman about how to properly cover up a conspiracy within the White House to do in your political enemies and win elections and all that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about, is Iraq George Bush's Watergate? And in the context of that, we're going to go through the timelines of Iraq. We're going to go through the timelines of Watergate. We're going to hear from Nixon. We're going to, and hopefully we'll have a lively discussion about that. And in our third hour, I want to ask the question, and I think this is a very serious one. I don't know if you saw Crossfire yesterday, but when they brought up the issue on Crossfire on CNN, Bob Novak was on that show about whether, about the fact that in a column that he wrote for the Sun Sentinel, as I recall, or the Chicago, whatever. We'll get to that in the third hour. I have the actual article here. It's just not at the top of the stack. Bob Novak, in his column, outed a CIA agent, the wife of Joseph Wilson. And this is a felony. People go to prison for this. And there was a situation back when the Frank Church Committee was looking into some Republican wrongdoings, you may recall. They outed a CIA agent in Greece, and he ended up getting assassinated by the November 17 terrorist group. And heads rolled. And so our third hour, we're going to ask the question, should Bob Novak and his two administration sources be prosecuted? This is a 10-year in prison felony. And when they brought this thing up on Crossfire yesterday, you could see Novak squirming. It's going to be really interesting to see how that shakes out, whether the press picks this up, what kind of story this is, what how it becomes, how it breaks out. Just as an FYI, by the way, the last hour of the show tomorrow, we're going to have Rama Schneider in to fill in for me because I've got to drive down to Rhinebeck, New York, where I'm doing a weekend workshop on attention deficit disorder Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In fact, I start speaking tomorrow night, which is why I'm going to have to leave the show an hour early. And then all of next week, we're going to be playing repeat shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. In fact, next Wednesday, we're going to repeat our interview with Joe Trippi because we've gotten so much positive feedback about that and people who want to hear it again or want to tell their friends to, hey, you want to hear what Howard Dean's guy says. And as time goes on, we're going to try and get all of the candidates on, by the way. I want to make sure you know this isn't the Howard Dean program, even though I live in Vermont. And anyhow, Monday, Wednesday, Friday of next week, we're going to be repeating shows. And Tuesday of next week, we're going to have Rama Schneider filling in. And Thursday of next week, Ski Anderson of WLS, formerly Nancy Skinner's partner on that program, Ski and Skinner. Nancy, of course, having left the program involuntarily, apparently. Originally, it was that she'd been fired, but WLS says no. She's just not on the air until the election is over. And if she doesn't get elected, they want her back. And if she is elected, then, of course, she goes off to the United States Senate. So, you know, we'll see how that shakes out. Good interview with Nancy in BuzzFlash today, worth reading. And Nancy Skinner, nancyskinner.com, her website, and she then with links to her Nancy Skinner for the United States Senate. She's running from Illinois for the United States Senate. And we wish her well. Nancy is one of God's good people. Yeah, I mean, she's really and truly a fine human being and a brilliant social and political commentator, and she would make a great United States senator. So anyhow, and then so that's what we're going to have on the radio. And if you have any interest in attending the workshop next week, we're doing the week-long workshop is going to be called Touching the Power of Life. A recurring theme in my books, including The Prophet's Way and Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, involves the ways our culture wounds and constrains our success. But there's a way out, and we're going to talk about that. And the last day of the workshop, actually, we're going to be getting into political activism as important work in the world. Our quote for the day, we are told America is best when people are interested in ourselves. This is from James Carville. He says, you know, the conservative pitch is that America's best when people are interested in themselves. We know, however, James Carville says, that America is better when we're based on a common interest. This, I think, cuts right to the chase of the big debate between conservatives and liberals, as it were, in the United States. That being that there is this Ayn Rand exaltation of selfishness, this idea that the only reason anybody does anything is out of selfish motivation, and that's the best thing, and that leads to all the wonderful innovations, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. And the fact is, it's not true. It's simply not true. People do things for egalitarian reasons. Yeah, there may be something in it for them. Ultimately, there always is a payoff. You do something good for somebody else, you feel good. But that's a little different than the way the cons portray it, that the greed is good and that greed is the root of all beneficial things. It's just even among animals. I mean, they say, well, no, it's competition, not cooperation. That's how nature works. Well, first of all, that's not what Charles Darwin said. And secondly, it's just not true. Can you imagine in your body if all of your organs didn't cooperate? What if your liver one day decided that it was going to compete with everybody else? Or if your lungs decided that they were going to try and take over? Or if your big toe on your left foot decided that it was going to, I'm in charge now. Actually, when a few cells decide that they're going to compete with everything else in your body for the energy supply and the food supply and the blood supply, we call that cancer. And this type of thinking is a cancer in America. It's a cancer in our social body, and it's a cancer in our political body. We're seeing the consequences of it with this administration, and the mean, small-minded, the punishment-driven behaviors of, you know, destroying anybody who speaks out against them, like Joseph Wilson outing his... This is a guy within the administration. Their own people they're trashing. And it's just, it's not healthy. It's just not healthy for the United States. We can be better than that. We are better than that. As a citizen of the United States, I was both hopeful and skeptical about the recent events that unfolded in Iraq, writes Wayleft J, one of the members of our chat room. Let's see if Wayleft... Ah, you're in the chat room right now, he is. I got an email here from him. He says, news broke out yesterday that Saddam Hussein's two notorious sons were killed in a violent gun battle in Mosul. I am indeed hopeful in the aspect that perhaps this event will calm at least some of the storm that exists in that embattled country where so many fellow Americans are literally under the gun of terrorism 24 hours a day. Not too long ago, I heard a Bush spokesman remarking that the left had been wrong on virtually every aspect of the Iraq war, including the flood of terrorism that's supposed to follow a U.S.-led invasion of the country. Apparently, when an American is in uniform and is gunned down in the streets of Baghdad in the most cowardly fashion, that doesn't count. I hate to agree, I think it does. We've been losing a citizen a day, and it's the death of Uday and Qusay, And if the death of Uday and Qusay do anything to curtail these attacks, I'm happy that they were eliminated. I have no problem with their deaths at the hand of U.S. soldiers, because these two contributed absolutely nothing good to the world. I do find myself skeptical, however, not with the action, but with the timing of the events. Just as GW was under his most intense fire since the Iraq invasion, just as he was facing his most difficult test, the military gets a home run that will no doubt boost Bush's standings. Well, it's interesting. It's perhaps the next time the heat is on Bush, Saddam himself will pop out of a sand dune, and we can chalk up yet another brilliant victory for Team Bush. Well, Wayleft, I'm not quite as skeptical as you are. I do have my own concern about this, my own paranoia or whatever. And that is that. I don't think that they ever intended to take these guys alive and that they could have easily done it. I mean, there were basically four people in that house, or maybe four and a few others, but it looks like there were only four people in the house. And they certainly could have done what they did with Noriega down in Panama and, you know, taken some time and gotten them out alive and think of what they could have learned from them, you know, like where their dad is. But maybe we don't want to know those things. Were there really weapons of mass destruction? Maybe we really don't want to know those things. Got an email here from Patrick in Austin, Texas. He says, I support Governor Dean primarily because he's not a liberal or a moderate or a conservative. I support him because he makes sense, and I truly feel he's looking out for doing what's right for the common person. That is a reflection, by the way, of virtually all the feedback I got from yesterday's interview. I was really surprised. Nobody emailed in, even any of our Green friends, to say, what nonsense, or, you know, dump this guy or whatever. Bill Clinton's been in the news. Have you seen this yesterday on Fox, of course, and CNN and whatnot? Everybody said, oh, Bill Clinton said move on. Well, first of all, I never saw the phrase move on in Bill Clinton's words, but that's how the right is spinning it. Bill Clinton is saying to the left, move on. And now the conspiracy theorists are coming out of the woodwork. Well, Bill's just saying that.
because he wants Bush to be stronger so that whoever runs for the Democratic nominee will lose so that Hillary can jump into the race in 2008. Could be. I don't think so, frankly. I think Clinton was just honestly answering a question. And, you know, with a fair amount of self-aggrandizement tossed in there. But it's really interesting to see how, you know, these guys who beat him up at every turn, you know, just a few words out of his mouth and suddenly they all glom onto it and play, oh, look at what Bill Clinton said. Isn't it incredible? Anyhow, is the theft of your vote just a chip away? One of the most important issues of our age. We're going to start on that right after this break. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Powell, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This
is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Program on the IE America Radio Network. NAFTA and jobs. Where's the workshop? Cancel elections. Martial law. A bunch of questions here from our chat room, folks. Let me just get through these really quickly because I want to get into this voting machine stuff because this is really hot. Article about it in today's New York Times. An article I wrote about it on Alternet. It may be being blasted out in email to the planet this weekend. We'll see. Is the theft of your vote just a chip away? First of all, somebody asked, okay, the workshop that I'm teaching next week, where is it and how do I find out about it? It's at Omega Institute, and the website is www.eomega.org. eomega.org, and you can find the details off that. Somebody else had said, what about the possibility of canceling the elections? What does martial law mean? Martial law. There is a large chunk of this was passed during the Nixon administration, and there was a big flap about it when it happened. I forget which year it was, but it was when the Vietnam War was still going on, and there was concern that Nixon was going to cancel the elections. It was an executive order in part. Part of it is an executive order. Part of it goes back to World War II and some laws that were passed during the Roosevelt administration, and parts of it go back even before that. So there's a bunch of pieces to it. But basically, the president has the authority, and we should do a whole show on this, Louise. In fact, this would be a great one for us to get somebody on who has written a book about it or really done the research, because I'm not an expert on it, but I have dug into it more than once, and I've written about it in a quick overview. That the president has the authority to declare a state of national emergency. And in the context of that state of national emergency, he can suspend certain laws. Lincoln, for example, suspended the right of habeas corpus, among other things. He suspended a number of civil rights during the Civil War. Roosevelt suspended some of our laws during World War II. He interned the Japanese on the basis of one of those suspensions, as I recall. But to take it even further with the new Nixonian laws, the president has the right to suspend the House and Senate and to suspend elections. But the main thing about the state of emergency is that all local police functions become federalized. That is to say, your local police department suddenly is working for the Army. Your state police are suddenly working for the Army. Your local phone company becomes an instrument of the United States government, and on it goes. They basically take over all our infrastructure in the case of a national emergency. And that may actually be a good thing if there was a real national emergency. Or it might be a terrible thing if somebody wanted to move a coup d'etat ahead. As to NAFTA and jobs, I'll just give you a quickie here, and that's something that we have dealt with at some length in the past and we will in the future. NAFTA basically broke down the trade barriers. Used to be that if you wanted to make shoes in the United States and it cost $10 an hour to have the labor to make those shoes, or $20 an hour is probably more like it, and in Malaysia they were making shoes and they could do it for 10 cents an hour. Let's say it's $10 an hour here, 10 cents an hour there. Then we had a tariff, a tax, as it were, on shoes coming in from Malaysia. Let's say there's an hour of labor in a pair of shoes that said, if you want to import shoes, fine, no problem, but you have to pay a tax of $9.90, which equalized the cost of the labor. And NAFTA and GATT, among other things, I mean, this is just kind of a small example of a large, huge spectrum of things that happened, did away with that. Said, no, that's illegal restraint of trade. That's unfair. And of course, it's not. I mean, that's simply a way of governments preserving their own self-interest and helping their own people. But that's how it's worked. The North American Free Trade Agreement and the General Agreement on Tariff and Trades, the World Trade Organization, all of this thing, the whole shtick, the whole business has had the effect of just wiping this stuff out. The result, of course, has been that our manufacturing jobs have been fleeing. And now our white-collar jobs, as we talked about yesterday, are going as well. Forrester Research estimating 3 million more to go any day now. nobody is safe. Soon, the only jobs that will be safe are those flipping burgers. And even those might not be safe because people can't afford to buy the burgers. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense in the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom for 88 years.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. It's not a layoff, but 2,700 workers at an IBM chip manufacturing plant in South Burlington, Vermont, are taking an 18% wage cut as the company reduces everyone's working hours. IBM came under fire last week when audio tapes surfaced of its human resources executives discussing the need for a mass transfer of jobs overseas, but the company says this cutback in Vermont is no precursor to any sort of move. Effective August 2nd, workers at the plant will go from working 42 hours to 36 hours per week.
The public has spoken on the issue of whether the Labor Department should eliminate the right to time and a half pay for millions of American workers, and the answer is clear. A vast majority oppose the rollback. The public comment period on the proposal officially ended June 30th, but cards and letters keep pouring in, more than 80,000 so far. The Economic Policy Institute says the plan would rob a net 8 million Americans of overtime wages.
If these regulations go through, we will lose our time and a half overtime, and we stand to lose thousands of dollars in overtime pay.
John Garrity is an electronics technician with the federal government.
These changes are changes that are going to benefit corporate America. There are no benefits to the American working man or woman that goes to work every day.
Earlier this month, a House measure that would have blocked any changes to overtime rules failed by 3 votes after a handful of Democrats crossed party lines to support the president. 7 other Democrats failed to show for the vote, including presidential hopeful Richard Gephardt. Ironically, Gephardt was in Iowa that day receiving the endorsement of the International Association of Machinists.
The 6-year contract between Caterpillar and the United Auto Workers expires in April.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Today's New York Times headline:
Computer voting is open to easy fraud, experts say.
I just wrote an article about this. In fact, I spent the whole last week researching this topic, and I got a pile of information on this. You'll probably see this thing popping up around the web this weekend or next week. I'm going to be out of the loop because I'm not even sure I'll have access to a computer next week. But we'll get it out. Anyhow, here's from the beginning of this article in New York Times by John Schwartz, today's New York Times, and I quote, "The software that runs many high-tech voting machines contains serious flaws that would allow voters to cast extra votes and prevent poll workers to alter ballots without being detected," computer security researchers said yesterday. Now, here's where all this started. Bev Harris, our question, of course, is the theft of your vote just a chip away? Bev Harris, following up, I don't know if she started this or if she was following up on, I think she was working with Lynn Landis. They were friends. Got into this thing of these computerized voting machines a few years back. And Lynn has a website. Her website is ecotalk.org. And an enormous amount of good information on there. Bev Harris's website is blackboxvoting.com. And she has a book coming out. It's supposed to come out this month, although Amazon's not showing it as shipping yet. But you can pre-order it from her website at blackboxvoting.com. Anyway, they started digging into this stuff. And Bev was just like, you know, floating around the Internet using Google. This was maybe, I don't know, 6-8 months ago or so. In fact, right about the time she discovered this, I was doing a radio talk show here in Vermont, and we had her on as a guest. I think it was the week that she discovered it, because she was just stunned. I mean, she was just using Google and Googling the names of the voting machine companies. And on one of these voting machine companies, she hit their site, and she was just like digging through it, as anybody can do. And she found a link that said FTP. She clicked on it, and boom, here's an FTP site, and there's all these files. And the files are the software that runs the voting machines for this company. And in addition to that, there were apparently even some files that were vote records. And there was this one file called Rob Georgia that was of particular interest to her, since Georgia has gone in the last election, in the 2002 election, to 100% touchscreen voting machines from this particular vendor in large part, and that leave no paper trail. And, well, here, for example, on November 3rd, 2002, this is, what, 1, 2, 3 days before the election? I don't recall which day. I think the election was the 5th in 2002. On November 3rd, USA Today, quote, "In Georgia, an Atlanta Journal-Constitution poll shows Democratic Senator Max Cleland with a 49-44% lead over Republican Representative Saxby Chambliss." 49-44. That's not the kind of lead that closes up in the last day or two. I don't care what's going on, you know, unless they catch the guy in some incredibly compromising position. Cox News Service points out, and now after the election, Cox News Service says, this is on November 7th, "Pollsters may have goofed because Republican Representative Saxby Chambliss defeated incumbent Democratic Senator Max Cleland by a margin of 53-46%. The hotline, a political news service, recalled a series of polls Wednesday showing that Chambliss had been ahead in none of them." Now, here you've got Max Cleland, one of the Senate's, I am not exaggerating this, truly great war heroes. This guy lost 3 of his 4 limbs in the Vietnam War. One of America's truly great, well, he lost both legs and one arm in the Vietnam War, and he is an expert on defense. He was on all the various Senate committees that had to do with the military and defense. He knew this stuff inside out. And here comes Saxby Chambliss, this guy who was a draft dodger. He got out of the Vietnam War with a medical deferment. Now, that in and of itself, in my book, doesn't disqualify anybody for anything, frankly. I knew a lot of people who didn't particularly want to be in Vietnam. and would count myself among them for that matter. But the point is that those people are not presenting themselves as more patriotic than Max Cleland. And Saxby Chambliss ran a series of ads in which he just came right flat out and said Max Cleland was not patriotic enough to be in the United States. It's outrageous. But somehow, suddenly, even though all the polls show he's losing, Saxby Chambliss wins. But it gets even weirder. We'll get to that in just a second. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to drop into the program today and say hello. 1-800-825-5937. And Chris in Albuquerque, New Mexico is on the line. Chris, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Good show, as always.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Uday and Kusei, when I'd found that or heard that the American Army had found their bodies, my first question was, well, were their pockets filled with Nigerian uranium? If not,
right.
I really don't care one way or another. I don't think very many people are going to care in any case. You know, one of the greater prevarications coming out of the Bush administration and the Pentagon is that all of the assaults and murders committed on American troops in Iraq are being committed by, quote, Saddam loyalists or Ba'ath Party.
Right.
You know, there are
end
several,
timers.
Yeah. There are several groups that have come forward publicly claiming responsibility for killing our service people that have very little or nothing to do with Saddam Hussein.
Who are active opponents of Saddam Hussein.
Correct. You know, the Pentagon wants to make it seem, of course, as if it is George W. against Saddam. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm sure that there is some of it, some of that is true, but the fact is, a great deal of this is being perpetrated by people who simply don't want to be occupied by the United States of America. Therefore, it'll become, you know, George W. versus the Iraqi people. And, it, you know, the Viet Cong, that whole subset rears its ugly head. A lot of the killings are, I believe, simply people opposed to being occupied. And
yeah, as they were in the 1920s and 1930s when the British tried to occupy Iraq.
Yes,
and as they
absolutely.
Were all the way back 2,000 years that this country has been occupied by various people, and this exact same thing has happened.
And it gives lie to this idea somehow that if they show pictures of, you know, Uday Kusei or even Saddam, that our military people are not going to be under threat anymore. It's a ridiculous supposition.
It is. I agree with you. I agree with you, Chris. Thanks for the call and thanks for making that point. I appreciate it very much. And this is, you know, it's being billed as the great event, you know, isn't it? And no, it's just, this is just a burp along the way. Our question today is the theft of your vote just a chip away. I want to get back to that, but we got Woody in Beaumont, Texas on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES. Woody, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey,
just to add a little bit to your commentary, and I am extremely interested in hearing about this computer thing. I'm a loyal NRA member, as you might imagine, and I can tell you unequivocally the NRA went gunning for Cleland in a big way in all their publications. And after the election, they took big credit for Saxby Chambliss winning about their grassroots operations to get the people out to vote. I mean, basically what I'm saying is, the NRA was really, really shooting for Cleland, and they put maximum effort and financing into it, and they took full credit for his loss when it was all said.
Yeah, well, you'd expect them to do that, Woody. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you sharing that. And of course, you know, what is the old saying? Victory has 1,000 sons, and defeat has none. Everybody is going to claim that they had this victory, but the reality is that none of the polls showed that. And if the NRA was having any effect at all, and they did have substantial effect, I mean, Saxley Chambliss came from nowhere up to, you know, 44%, which is, you know, respectable, but nonetheless. So then, similarly, Cox News reported on November 7th, no polls predicted the upset victory in Georgia of Republican Sonny Perdue over incumbent Governor Roy Barnes. Perdue won by a margin of 52-45%, but the most recent Mason-Dixon poll, and this was taken just before the election, showed the incumbent, very popular Democratic governor of Georgia, which has had Democratic governors going back for 200 years, showed Barnes ahead 48-39%. So how does this guy, Sonny Perdue, who's only got 39% of the vote in the polls, a couple of days before the elections, suddenly win. And again, Saxby Chambliss, way behind in the polls, suddenly wins. Well, it turns out that some of the memory cards in some of the computerized machines in Fulton County, heavily Democratic Fulton County, downtown Atlanta, most populous area in Georgia, vanished. They got misplaced. And from all over the state, there were these memory cards that had votes on them that they couldn't find for a couple of days. Amazing. Strangest thing. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. John in Long Beach, California. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? I'm calling back.
I am great.
I talked to you the other day. You asked me to call back if I had anything else to add.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to touch on the subject of the voting machines. And I don't know how many different places those voting machines are used, but my understanding is a federal law is you cannot even open up those machines to see what's going on, even with a court order.
Right. That's right. The way it works, John, is that the machines are purchased by the local state governments, and so in theory they're owned by we, the people. But the software that runs on the machines is only licensed by them. It's owned by these for-profit corporations, one of the largest of which, by the way, was initially in its startup funded by a very wealthy family of philanthropists in the Midwest who believe that the Bible should replace the Constitution in ruling the United States and are extremely active in the Republican Party. And the head of that voting machine company, by the way, was Chuck Hagel, who had been with the Bush administration, the first Bush administration, Washington, D.C., lived in Washington, D.C. for years, moved out to Kansas, worked for this voting machine company for a few years, ran the voting machine company, and then quit his job to run for the United States Senate and scored upset victories across the state in Nebraska, and upset victories. In fact, the Washington Post said it was. Go ahead, John.
Tom?
Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing is I wanted to touch on also is the Hussein's sons getting killed.
Yeah.
I listened a little bit on C-SPAN last night, and this military individual, I don't know if he was a colonel or a general or what, but he was talking about how they had fired 10, not one, but 10 TOW missiles into the residence where these people were.
Yeah.
Now, TOW missiles, isn't that fired, and their shoulder held like a bazooka-type thing?
I thought that they had brought in an aircraft. I mean,
they were going to, but he said they changed their mind on that.
I see.
But I think one TOW missile in your living room would run your whole day.
Yeah.
They fired 10 TOW missiles into that residence, I don't see how there could be anything left there to identify.
Yeah. Well, and that's what a lot of people in Iraq are saying, and that's why this administration, and John, thanks for the call and thanks for the point. That's why this administration is under so much pressure to release the pictures and why they're doing it, and, you know, there's going to be a feeding frenzy on that. Back to the voting machines. Almost all of the votes in Georgia were recorded on the new touchscreen computerized voting machines. And on November 8th, the Atlanta Constitution Journal reported that 67 memory cards from 67 electronic voting machines had been misplaced. Here's a quote from the newspaper. Election officials said Thursday that memory cards from 67 electronic voting machines had been misplaced, so ballots cast on those machines were left out of previously announced totals. They later found them. Who knows what happens while they were gone. Similarly, the San Jose Mercury News reported an editorial on 23 January 2003. In one Florida precinct in last November, votes that were intended for the Democratic candidate for governor ended up for Governor George Bush because of a misaligned touchscreen. How many votes were miscast before the mistake was found will never be known because there was no paper trail. I would add that misaligned touchscreens, as they call this scam, also caused 18 known machines in Dallas to register Republican votes when Democratic screen buttons were pushed. And who knows how many others there were. There were just 18 machines that were reported loudly and strongly enough that they got pulled out of service. Here's an article from the Dallas Morning News, November 7th, a couple of days after the 2002 election. Quote, a defective computer chip in the county's optical scanner misread ballots Tuesday night and incorrectly tallied a landslide victory for Republicans. Republicans would not have carried the day, by the way, had not poll workers become suspicious when the computerized vote reading machine said the Republican candidate was trouncing his incumbent Democratic opponent in the race for county commissioner. The poll workers, who were close enough to the electorate, they were part of the electorate, to know that their county was overwhelmingly Democratic, looked at these numbers and said, there's something wrong here. They pulled out the ballots, and they hand-counted them. And the Democrat won. I mean, this is a small county in Texas. And this is in Snyder, Texas. And the race for the Republican county, and the machine that kept saying the Republican won. So they called the voting machine company. And they said, we count these ballots by hand. It says the Democrat won. We run them through your scanning machine, and it says the Republican won. We got a problem here. So the company flies in a new computer chip. To quote from the Associated Press, a new computer chip was flown to Snyder, Texas from Dallas, end quote. With the new chip installed, the computer decided that the Democrat had indeed won the race. In another Texas race, Senator Jeff Wentworth won his race with exactly 18,181 votes. Republican Carter Castile won her House seat with exactly 18,181 votes. And conservative Judge Danny Scheel won his seat with exactly 18,181 votes, all in Comal County. Nobody there thought to ask for a new chip. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Is the theft of your vote just a chip away? This is the Tom Hartman Program on IE.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Firebat.
Zebra.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty then.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Never let go of your dreams. That is our hope, the vision of democracy in America, the dream, Jefferson's dream being revived in America. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. Tom Hartman with you, broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take those our question here is the theft of your vote, just a chip away. If you take that 18181, the number of votes that three different candidates, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... very strange. Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence? One state where Republicans did ask for a new chip was Alabama. By the way, before I get onto Alabama, the two states where it really looks like the computerized voting machines in the last election, where the conspiracy theorists are saying there's a real problem, are Georgia and Minnesota, because the polls were so clear about who was going to win. The Democrat in both cases, and in both cases the Republicans won against all the polls, and this is what threw the Senate to the Republicans in 2002. Remember Walter Mondale filling in for Paul Wellstone? Here's a quote from the Star Tribune in Minnesota. Quote, dramatic political developments since Paul Wellstone's death Friday have had little effect on voters' leanings in the U.S. Senate race, according to the Star Tribune Minnesota poll taken Monday night. Wellstone's likely replacement on the ballot, former Vice President Walter Mondale, leads Republican Norm Coleman by 47-39%, close to where the race stood 2 weeks ago when Wellstone led Coleman by 47-41%. But who won the election when the computerized machines added it up? The Republican Coleman. Here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mac in Santa Fe, hang on the line. We'll take your call after the top of the hour.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. An audio tape believed to be from ousted Iraqi President Saddam Hussein is urging Iraqis now to step up their resistance to U.S.-led occupation. It calls on militants to seize military compounds. More from correspondent Alistair Wanklin.
The voice of Saddam Hussein urges his supporters to continue the uprising against U.S. occupation forces in Iraq and keep control, he said, of what he called former state property to use in the rebellion. The message said the feeling of defeat might lead some Iraqis to commit treason instead of being a gun pointed at the enemy. Many Iraqis aware of the series of statements from Saddam Hussein say they pay no attention. And the latest comes amid news that two of Saddam's daughters have left Iraq, deciding to accept a new life and protection in neighboring Jordan. Alistair Wangfin reporting.
The Russian Foreign Ministry says North Korea has agreed now to multilateral talks on its nuclear weapons program, ending its longstanding opposition to such negotiations. Correspondent Anya Ardaeva has more from Moscow.
According to the Russian Foreign Ministry, the message was delivered by North Korea's ambassador to Russia, Park Wee-chin, who said that Pyongyang has agreed to proposal for six-nation talks. Washington has been pressing for expanded dialogue with Pyongyang for months. The American plan was to resume three-party negotiations with the participation of China and then expand the talks by Seoul, Moscow, and Tokyo joining the forum. If the Russian Foreign Ministry report is confirmed, this would be a significant development in the ongoing standoff between North Korea and the United States, which flared last October. Pyongyang then admitted developing a secret nuclear program. Anya Ardaeva, Moscow.
U.S. helicopter gunships killed four guerrillas in South Afghanistan yesterday. A military spokesman says coalition troops forced another group to flee into Pakistan after that group had attacked an American base. The guerrillas were killed by a pair of Apache gunships after a group of about 15 opened fire on a coalition special forces patrol near Kandahar.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Quiet!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if a girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
A new database to track foreign students at American educational institutions kicks in today. Today's the deadline for schools to register foreign students with the Department of Homeland Security. The system was implemented after the September 11th attacks to screen applicants and monitor those already in the country. Two U.S. warships should arrive off Liberia by tomorrow. It hasn't been decided, however, if any of the 2,300 Marines on board will assist in peacekeeping efforts in the Civil War-torn nation. West African leaders, meanwhile, are pledging to send forces into that country within the next few days. President Charles Taylor says he will leave when the forces are fully deployed.
Mom, Dad, someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The FBI is warning private and business computer users a Microsoft software flaw could lead to new hacker attacks. The Department of Homeland Security says hackers could be able to take total control of other people's computers. FBI spokesman Paul Bresson is urging computer users to download a free patch from Microsoft.
The most important point that I'd want to make is that, you know, and we probably can't emphasize it enough, is to encourage all users, whether it's business or those who have personal computers at their home, to visit the Microsoft website, you know, and install the patches.
Bresson, however, couldn't confirm if the federal government's already protected its own computers. And the woman accused of falsely claiming to be an Indiana couple's missing daughter will make her first appearance in court today. Donna Walker faces a felony charge of identity deception and misdemeanor false reporting. She turned herself into police in Topeka, Kansas yesterday. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Wow, what a brain! No, I'm not talking about the class valedictorian or the scarecrow after he reached Oz. This brain's inside your car. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today, or visit tornadoair.com. Einstein's got nothing on your car's ECM, or electronic control module. Like human brains, ECMs gather data from the environment and make adjustments to optimize performance. For example, this onboard computer adapts fuel delivery, seat positions, cabin temperature, braking, and emissions. It also alerts you to potential problems and notifies you for service. Like all brains, your ECM's sensitive to environmental abuse. So follow the scarecrow's lead. Take your ECM for scheduled service to the Oz, service center of your choice. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to our program on the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live across America on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting live from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Satellite Radio Network, Sirius Channel 145. Streaming audio on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org, and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And I just want to put to bed one of these persistent myths. Let's say, to be charitable, of the cons. One of the great con myths is that liberals only want to make you dependent on the government. I have heard this as a mantra for so long. It's just, and you know, it has a certain nice ring to it. You know, yeah, Social Security. Get those Social Security checks, dependent on the government. Well, actually, I think Social Security's insurance. We pay into it, and we get back out based on what we pay in, by and large. Well, what about welfare? Okay, dependent on, and that's what it's all about. It's all about making people dependent on the government so they'll vote for liberals.
Well, let me ask you a question. Unless you own your own, you know, 100 acres out in prime farmland someplace where you can completely feed yourself, clothe yourself, spin your own wool and everything else, do you want to be in a situation where no matter what happens to you, if you get sick, if you lose your job, if there's some kind of a disaster, floods, drought, that the only people you can fall back on are corporations? Because those are your choices. The cons try to evoke this image of the noble American out there, you know, on the prairies, stealing land from the Indians and, you know, carving a new life out of the American Indian. Well, maybe in 1810, maybe even in 1840, but not today. Sorry. You get to choose. Because the reality is that we are all going to get old someday. Or we're going to get sick someday. Some of us, it's going to happen, both are going to happen. And when you get old or when you get sick, or if you encounter really serious hard times, you know, half the bankruptcies in America today, we're experiencing more bankruptcies as a percentage of our population today, right now in 2003, than we did at the depths of the Great Depression. And half of all the bankruptcies today are the result of people being completely wiped out to the point of losing their homes and everything by medical expenses. So, here's the choice. Do you want to have a system? Do you want to live in a system of government? Do you want to live in a nation where we all collectively say, we all are going to get sick and we are all going to get old and die someday, and we all collectively are going to put something into the pot so that when the time comes that we get old and die, or if the time comes that we get sick, or if the time comes, God forbid, that we lose our job or fall on hard times, that there's some cushion that we can land on. As is the case in every industrialized country in the world except the United States. If you want to live in that kind of a world, or do you want to live in the kind of a world where private corporations say to you, well, if you get sick, or if you get old, or if you lose your job, did you pay us insurance payments on which we made a 10 or 20 or 30% profit? Sorry, I just needed to get that out. Mac in Santa Fe, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. Mac in Santa Fe is on the line. Mac, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey,
you
Mac.
You did a beautiful job of spelling out the problem and the crime as far as the machines are concerned.
Oh, and I just.
But the question that I have is, what's the follow-up? Who's the watchdog? How do we prevent this kind of crime?
Perfect question, and I've got the answer for you right here.
Good deal.
Imagine it's Election Day 2004, says U.S. Congressman Rush Holt. He also has a Ph.D. in physics. And he's a congressman from New Jersey. He's a Democrat. He says, and I quote, "You enter your local polling place and go to cast your vote on a brand new touchscreen voting machine. The screen says your vote has been counted. As you exit the voting booth, however, you begin to wonder, how do I know if the machine actually recorded my vote?" The fact is, Rush Holt says, you don't know. And this is a United States congressman. He has introduced legislation to change this. The fact is that the HAVA Act, Help America Vote Act, which had allocated billions of dollars for states to put these machines in, under which Georgia and Florida and Nebraska and all these other states have put these machines in, requires that a commission be set up that sets standards for the voting machines. And the reality is that the commissioner was supposed to have been appointed last year by the President of the United States, And the commission was supposed to be looking into this. That commission has not been appointed. It does not exist. There are no standards. So this, the legislators are starting to take this into their own hands. There's a lot of people, Mac, very concerned about this. And you're seeing the reality of that in that today in the New York Times, in the first section of the New York Times, on page 8 or 9 or so, there's a substantial article about this. So this is a topic. I first wrote about this in Common Dreams 8 or 9 months ago. Nobody was talking about it. And now it's starting to get some currency. I'm hopeful about this.
So culpability has been established.
Well, the problem, at least, has been established. I don't think that anybody has yet charged explicitly that the vote was stolen in Georgia and in Minnesota, although there is a website in New Zealand, actually, called The Scoop, that did a statistical analysis of the polls versus the outcomes in every state in the United States. And there were two states where the vote swung 8, 10, 12, 14 points in favor of the Republicans in the last day of the election when in every other state it didn't. And those two states were the ones that took the United States Senate, and that's where in Minnesota where Mondale lost, and in Georgia where Saxby Chambliss beat Max Cleland, and strange
well,
things.
It's so. Up to us as individual voters to do some pre-work, some...
I'm hopeful, and to lobby. I called the Secretary of State's office here in Vermont and said, "Do you know about this?" And they actually didn't know. And so I told them about it. I called my county commissioner, my county clerk's office here in the town where I live. And I said, "Hey, did you know about this problem?" She's like, "No, I didn't know about that." And I said, "Well, let me tell you about it." I encourage you to do the same thing. Good and good. I'm also hopeful that a group like MoveOn.org or some other group will get a burr under their tail about this thing and get the message out, because we need to wake up as many people as we can to the fact that democracy itself is at risk of being stolen electronically. Mac, thanks for the call. I appreciate your calling. Always nice to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut's on the line. Tim, is the theft of your vote just a chip away?
Oh, absolutely. I think perhaps the biggest problem is so many people are asleep on this. But two quick things about the elections and stuff. As someone who studied polling in college, and who also was actively involved in the grassroots of politics. In Minnesota's case, Walter Mondale ran a terrible, terrible race, and that debacle that they had that caused such a national backlash at the memorial for Wellstone put a very, very bad taste in the campaign. And, you know, it was neck and neck with Wellstone and Coleman even before that. So having the kind of debacle, and then...
Let me correct you, Tim. That's the story that you'll hear from Rush Limbaugh, and that's the story that the national news is portraying. But you talk to people who live in Minnesota, and you get a very different story.
No, but it was a targeted race, and there were millions and millions. And also Georgia, people also forget that because the Republicans targeted Cynthia McKinney, also, a lot of urban and black voters did not show up in Georgia because they...
I know all that, but what these folks are saying is that in these two states... The polls, right up until the last day, were showing that the Democrats were way ahead, and suddenly the Republicans won.
Yeah, and that, but also the practicality of getting out the vote is something that the Republicans have been doing a far, far better job of actually doing. You know, people getting response on the phone or something is one thing.
May well be, Tim. I hope you are right. I hope you are right. And I am not alleging a conspiracy here or, you know, and I don't think the voting machine companies, frankly, had anything to do with this. I think if there was a hacking that happened, it happened from either people who worked for the machine companies but without the knowledge of the companies or from outsiders. But anyhow, your point.
Well, also, what is open code sourcing that I've heard some people talking about?
Great question.
That, you know, I've heard some people talking about that and stuff. Obviously, having... some sort of printed receipt is another thing that I've also heard people talking about.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
These are put forward as the two solutions, Tim. Tim, thanks for the call. Let me just give you the quick answer here. Open source code means the way it works right now is the voting machine companies write the software and they own it, and they say therefore you the people do not have the right to inspect it. Your computer scientists don't have the right to inspect it. You don't have the right to know how our computer software works. And in other nations where there are computerized machines, in Australia, for example, they use open code software. That means that the code is in the public domain. It's like Linux versus Microsoft Windows. So that's about open code. And then the receipt thing is that some folks are suggesting that the solution to this problem is that when you go in and touch a screen and vote, that the machine then generate with a little printer generates a paper receipt that says you voted for so and so and so and so and so and so, and those, and then you take that paper receipt and you look at it and you read it and you say, yep, that's what, those are the buttons I pushed, and then you go and you hand that to a poll watcher who puts it in a box, and then if that vote is contested, they can pull those paper ballots out and count them. Now, interestingly, right after the 2002 election, Charlie Matulka sued Chuck Hagel, saying that there was hanky-panky in the voter machines, and so the Republicans in Nebraska passed a law saying that it's illegal, according to, this is what Charlie Matulka told me, that it's illegal for election officials to look at paper ballots in Nebraska now, and there are other states that are looking at this. But I don't think that's going to stand. I really don't. So those are the two things, open source code and printed receipts as a way of getting through that. The final thing in my mind is to say that if there are going to be corporations involved, well, frankly, I don't think there should be corporations involved in our voting. They can sell products to the government, but I think that the governments need to be owning all of these things. Governments absolutely need to be in control of it, because the government is us, and it's subject then to the adversarial process of the two-party system or the multiple-party system. That is to say that you can have poll watchers, and this is what happened during the civil rights movement, where you can have people come in and say, is this honest or is it not? We got Margaret in Santa Fe, Greg in New Mexico, and Michael in New York on the line. We'll get to your calls right after this break. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes. Is the theft of your vote just a chip away?
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work, to a mall, to the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
I have one question. Why? This is the question that pops into my head whenever I flip through any of those slick catalogs hawking the latest in high-dollar, high-tech gizmos for yuppies. Why is so much of our society's brain power and research money being frittered away on frivolous crap? You want crap? Try house slippers with headlights. Let's hope that this person isn't trying to invent anything else. Or this, a $250 rapid-fire toaster that can pop out 130 slices of toast per hour right in your kitchen. If this thing appeals to you, let me be the first to tell you, you've got a toast problem, Buster, and it's time to spend some money for professional help, not for a 130-slice-an-hour toaster. Some of this crap is not just crap, but absurdly expensive crap, pitched to the pompous and over-pampered rich, including the $90,000 Audi A8, which has 65,000 electrodes to scan your fingertips so you can open its doors by waving your hand in front of it. It also has a computer that automatically tunes the radio to the driver's favorite station and sculpts the front seat to the contours of the driver's bottom. If that's not enough for the lazy class, try the FMD 700 iTrek TV glasses that use prisms to alter the line of sight so you can lie flat in bed and watch TV or videos. No more need to strain yourself by sitting up. There's even a techno-consumer magazine, aptly named Stuff, that has unwittingly expressed the whining wasteland ethic behind this mindless production and consumption of crap. We've launched missions to Mars, says Stuff, so why can't we build a robot that can pour us a drink? This is Jim Hightower saying, well, Stuff, undoubtedly we can and probably will. But the question is, why? The exploration of Mars is at least about the reach of the human spirit. Not being willing to reach for your own drink is about human sloth. Shouldn't we focus our technological genius on the world's real needs?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Democracy going to last in America? Is the theft of your vote just a chip away? This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret and Greg appear to have dropped off the line. Michael is still here. Michael in New York, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. As I say, I just really appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Anyway, what I do for a living is I'm a consultant. I design database systems, mainly setting up SQL servers and Oracle servers. And a lot of my work actually is to help companies integrate Microsoft Access into their systems. They use it as a front end. And the only reason why I'm bringing this all up is that I've looked at the voting machine software because I read so much about it back on July 8th. There was a New Zealand website that reported this system was
right. The from. Scoop.
The
yeah,
biggest
that was
thing that,
Bev Harris's story.
Yeah. That's right. The big thing that surprised me was that apparently that these programs are using Microsoft Access as the data storage program.
Right.
And Microsoft Access is the worst program to secure your data. If a client comes to me and asks me to store credit card information in Microsoft Access, I refuse to do it. Because it is, I mean, a third grader could break into Microsoft Access. So if somebody told me, or if somebody had hired me to design a system that could easily be hacked into, easily be changed, easily hide all the tracks of some ne'er-do-well, I would design it with Microsoft Access in mind. Now, I don't want to make it sound like I'm blaming Bill Gates for this. Microsoft Access is not the tool you'd want to use the job. I compare it to... you know, if you're going to go out on a driving trip through the woods, you might want to get an SUV. Microsoft Access for database management is kind of like a Geo Metro.
It's a consumer product. It's a consumer-based database. It's not something that's a heavy industrial database like the one that Oracle makes or
exactly.
I'm forgetting the name of the other big one out there.
And you definitely should not trust Microsoft Access with something as sacred and as important as tallying votes. The Microsoft Access part of the thing would, in my mind, make me extremely suspicious about any results that were counted. And one of the things I'm going to do now that I've learned about what happened in Minnesota and Georgia is I'm going to do some research and sign on to some team investigating this because I just can't believe that somebody would any database designer who would design Microsoft Access for something like this I just can't believe they would have good intentions now. Of course, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But.
Well, this is one of the problems, and you've really identified one of the problems here, Michael. I think, and thank you for the call and the comment. First of all, let me point you to a website, www.votewatch.us. Has a great compilation of stuff on it. In addition, of course, there's Bev's website, which is blackboxvoting.com, Lynn Landis's website, which is ecotalk.org, and Maria Mercury's website, which is notablesoftware.com. But here's the thing. Whenever you take the commons, whenever you take something that we collectively hold together, we the people, whether it's our healthcare system, whether it's our education system, whether it's our roads, whether it's our police department, our fire departments, the way that it works, it's like Medicare. Medicare operates on a 3% overhead. $3 out of 100 sticks to the fingers of the administrators. Private health insurance has a 24% overhead. Now, they're actually delivering health care more efficiently at 2.5% cost. Why 24%? Because 20.5% is going to pay multi-million dollar salaries to CEOs, dividends to stockholders, private planes, fleets of fancy cars, fancy headquarters, marketing costs. So whenever you privatize, whenever you put in the hands of private corporations the public good, the public wealth, the commonwealth, you run the risk that those corporations are going to cut corners in order to make profits, because their first goal is to make profits, which is a wonderful thing for somebody in business, but not a good thing with the public good. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense in the radical middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The U.S. government runs the only crime lab in the world that's devoted to wildlife. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Two of the most common crimes that involve wildlife are poaching and smuggling. For a long time, government agents could convict the perpetrators only by catching them in the act. But today, they can enforce the law using evidence the criminals leave behind. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service operates a forensic lab that focuses exclusively on wildlife. It's based in Ashland, Oregon, and it's run by Ken Goddard, a former police detective.
We do the same thing as a police crime lab does. We identify evidence. And we attempt, in a triangular fashion, to link the suspect, the victim, and the crime scene together with physical evidence. The only real difference is our victim happens to be an animal.
Goddard says the work involves national and international law. A big job these days has to do with caviar. The international trade in sturgeon eggs is regulated to protect species of sturgeon around the world, but people still try to smuggle caviar, and Goddard's lab examines the evidence when they're caught.
We had to come up with ways of distinguishing the 27 different species of sturgeon, and we're using mitochondrial DNA, which works very well. It just takes a lot of time to do it. We have robotic systems. We have automated DNA sequencers, but there's still an awful lot of people work involved.
Goddard says this kind of work helps enforce wildlife laws, but he says we should not expect cops and lab technicians to resolve the big issues in conservation.
The thing I'd really want the public to understand, at least from my perspective, is that law enforcement does not resolve issues, especially wildlife issues. You know, the best we can do in law enforcement is to keep things from getting worse.
That's Ken Goddard, a forensic expert with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman Program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 is our number. And Greg in New Mexico had asked, why don't Democrats get the benefit of the voting machines? It seems like they're spinning the elections towards the Republicans. Well, as a matter of fact, in one state they did, and this was Alabama. As Fox News reported on the 8th of November, right after the elections, after that initial returns from across the state showed that a Democratic incumbent Governor Don Siegelman had won the governor's race. They gave it to him. But overnight, and I quote from Fox News, Baldwin County took center stage when election officials released results Tuesday night showing Siegelman with 19,070 votes, enough for a narrow victory statewide. Later, they recounted and reduced Siegelman's tally to 12,736 votes, enough to give Republican Riley the victory, end quote. What produced the sudden loss of 6,000 votes? According to the Fox News report, quote, probate judge Adrian Johns, a member of the county canvassing board, blamed the initial higher number on, that is the number that gave the Democrat the election, on, quote, a programming glitch in the software that tallies the votes, end quote. So the Republicans came in and corrected the machine, and suddenly the Republican won. Fox News added, and I quote, the governor, this is the Democrat who lost, the governor claimed results were changed after the poll watchers left, end quote. Turns out that the glitch in the software in Alabama was discovered by the Republican National Committee's regional director, a woman named Kelly McCullough, who, according to a story by Rachel DiCarlo in the conservative Daily Standard, quote, logged on to the county's municipal website and confirmed that incumbent Democratic Governor Siegelman had actually only received 12,736 votes, not the 19,070 votes the AP projected for him. A computer glitch caused the error. The erroneous tally would have put Siegelman on top by 3,582 votes, but the corrected one gave Riley a 2,752 vote edge, end quote. As the Daily Standard noted, quote, if it hadn't been for one woman, the Republican National Committee's regional director, Kelly McCullough, things might have gone terribly wrong for Republican gubernatorial candidate Riley. So, you know, it's cuts both ways. And that's why I think members of both parties are getting concerned about this. Let's move on. Is Iraq going to be George Bush's Watergate? When we go back and we look at the very few pages that have been released as a result of Larry Klayman and Judicial Watch's lawsuit against the Dick Cheney energy policy meeting that happened in March of 2001, 6 months before 9/11, when he met with oil industry executives, and you can see this on judicialwatch.org's website. They have maps of all the oil fields in Iraq, and they have a list of countries and oil companies around the world that might be interested in buying Iraqi oil, and they've parceled out which parts of the Iraqi oil would go to which countries on which basis. This was the Vice President's Energy Task Force meeting in March of 2001. This just came out last week. And it's amazing to me how little play this is getting in the media, given that the same organization, Larry Klayman's Judicial Watch, was the one that broke the Jennifer Flowers and lawsuit that ended up bringing down Bill Clinton. And that got a lot of press. Same organization, same people doing the same kind of research and the same kind of lawsuit. This is not, nobody's touched this thing yet. But in any case, so we've got back in March of 2001, Dick Cheney's already parceling up the oil in Iraq and figuring out which companies are going to get it. And then, of course, they got to come up with a reason to go after it. And 9/11 happens. And as George Bush says, I hit the trifecta, as he said to Mitch Daniel. And General Wesley Clark on CNN said the afternoon of 9/11, he got a phone call from somebody in the White House, a person he has yet to identify, who told him, we have to pin this thing on Saddam Hussein. And Wesley Clark said, well, show me some proof. I'll go along with you. And there was this, and they said, well, we don't have any proof. But we got to pin it on him anyway. And in those days, as we documented on a program a few days ago, in those days between 9/11, 9/12, 9/13, 9/14, and 9/15, in the first 5 days after 9/11, there is a whole series of press conferences and meetings with the press that were held by senior administration officials, members of this administration, and the neocon, you know, William Kristol, other neocon hawks, saying on network television that in their opinion, Saddam Hussein was behind this or had something to do with it, which might have something to do with why more than half of Americans think that Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11, and over a third of Americans think that the planes were piloted by Iraqis, when it's now been proven that Saddam Hussein had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11, and that there were, of course, we've always known all along, it was mostly Saudis on the plane. There wasn't a single Iraqi anywhere in sight. But they had to spin this thing. And so we've got this, I mean, you know, on BuzzFlash today, it's not 16 words in the president's State of the Union address. There's 720 words constituting 24 specific lies. And they break them out. And I've got the list here, but I don't want to go off that far off topic. We'll deal with this later on. But in any case, so here's the time. Is this gonna melt down like Watergate? See, remember with Watergate, the problem wasn't that Nixon was doing dirty tricks. I mean, that was happening. He had this unit, he had these guys, and it was run by H.R. Haldeman out of the White House, and Nixon knew about it. He had these guys, they decided early on they did not want to run against Ed Muskie, because Muskie, according to the polls, could beat Richard Nixon. So they wanted to run against George McGovern. So they had to take Muskie out. So they had guys shadowing Muskie with phony letterhead from the Democratic National Committee. They wrote this phony letter where Muskie was calling somebody a Canuck and all this kind of stuff. And they brought down Muskie with dirty tricks, well documented now. Nobody disputes this. So they got to run against the guy they wanted to run against. And this was part of a very large operation of political sabotage, this breaking into the Watergate. But it wasn't that that got Nixon into trouble. What got Nixon into trouble was covering it up when he got caught. Let me get in. I'll continue with this in just a second, but let me just take a call here. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Linda in Cupertino is on the line. Linda, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Good to hear from you again. I agree. I think that we should put this on a scatter map or whatever those are called when you're plotting things on a graph. We should put 9/11, and we should add the Cheney Energy Task Force, and then we should add the California Energy Market Crisis. And then we should add the invasion of Iraq. I mean, these are things that you could put on a chart and find a nexus where they would all meet and they would all have a commonality and a common goal.
Yes.
This is why, you know, the Energy Task Force lawsuit is finally going through, which is being pushed by a Judicial Watch and the Sierra Club. And it's an excellent opportunity for us to find out what happened that will probably take us right back in the 911 investigation of things that are missing from this report.
Yeah, I agree with you, Linda. Thanks for the comment and thanks for the call. I do appreciate that. And in fact, here is the actual conversation that H.R. Haldeman had in the White House with Nixon, in which he says, we need to stop the FBI in their investigation. Now, keep in mind, the 9/11 report that just came out had all the Saudi stuff redacted. Listen to this, where H.R. Haldeman.
Now, on the investigation, you know, the Democratic break-in thing, we're back in the problem area because the FBI
on the investigation
is not under control, because It's very desert. Exactly.
Yeah. And then investigation of the Democratic break-in.
Their investigation is now leading in some productive areas because they've been able to trace some money, not through the money itself, but through the bank.
So he's talking about how they've been able to trace the money and the problem that we have.
And it goes some directions we don't want to go. Also, there have been some things like an informant came in off the street to the FBI.
His informant came in off the street in Miami and had some information for the FBI.
We developed some films for this guy, Parker. And the films had pictures of Democratic National Committee letterhead.
The pictures of the Democratic National Committee letterhead there he's talking about, that was the Dirty Tricks operation against Ed Muskie.
Documents. So he's got, there's things like that that are quivering in. Mitchell came up with yesterday.
This is the killer.
And John Dean analyzed very carefully last night and concurs now with Mitchell's recommendation that the only way to solve this, and we're set up beautifully to do it.
And he says, with Mitchell's recommendation, with the recommendation of the Attorney General of the United States, the only way to solve this...
In that, the only effort that paid me attention to last night was NBC, who did a massive story on the Cuban thing.
The networks are still looking at this.
That the way to handle this now is for us to... have Walters call Pat Gray.
Call Pat Gray, the head of the FBI.
And just say, stay the hell out of this. This business here, we don't want you going any further on. That's not an unusual development. And that would take care of it.
And that would take care of it. If we went to the head of the FBI, Pat Gray, and said, just get out of this thing. And we'll just look at the timeline of this thing. In the meantime, let me just take a break here with Adam, 1-800-TALK-YES. Adam has called in Alabama. Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
First, but I just find it that you guys are really, really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk. What do they have? 150,000 troops overseas now. More than that, they would risk their lives to make money. I mean, you must think that these guys are really, really, really evil people.
No, Adam, I'm not suggesting that they're doing it to make money. I'm not suggesting that they're doing it.
You said let's plot September 11th with this energy policy, with this. Your last caller mentioned that.
Yep.
And what you're implying by plotting these is that these guys said, when you said earlier that, hey, if you can produce the evidence, I'll follow it. I mean,
Adam, let me lay it out for you. Let me tell you exactly what I'm saying, because I've said it before on this program, and I'm it's very clear in my mind. And these guys, if you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, which Dick Cheney was part of, and Wolfowitz and Abrams and all these guys, they all signed on to this thing. What they were saying, basically, is that if we are going to have an energy policy in the United States that is driven by oil, Ronald Reagan's first official act of office was to take the solar collectors off the roof of the White House that Jimmy Carter had put on there because he was so beholden to the oil industry. If we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East. They just laid this right out. They said, first we need to take Iraq, then we need to take Syria, then we need to take Iran. And if we do that, we can secure our oil supplies, and we can terrify Saudi Arabia not having OPEC denominate oil in euros or playing games with us anymore. And I believe that they think that this is the best thing for America.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they have stated in a policy and in a
This is what they said. This is what they said. It's right there. You can read it on the internet. It was Project for a New American Century. I mean, there have been books written about this. Time Magazine. And this isn't some conspiracy, Adam.
People have written books on a lot of things, but where is that stated in a document?
The Project for a New American Century, which operates as I recall, the Heritage Foundation building, has their documents on the internet. I forget put Project for New American Century into Google and you'll get the website. It's probably newamericancentury.org or something like that. And they lay it
on. Why isn't this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration in 1998.
And Clinton bombed Iraq. And where was the outrage then?
Well, I think that there's a big difference between dropping some bombs on a site that looks like it has nuclear weapons of mass destruction in it and sending 150,000 people into another country. I think that there's a huge quantitative and qualitative difference there, Adam. You can't compare the two.
Well, I will concede to that, that there is a difference between the two, but in order to, are you saying that these guys are risking this many lives to in order to keep control of oil?
That's right.
I don't buy it.
Because without oil, listen, Adam, Adolf Hitler lost World War II because of oil. He ran out of oil.
He lost it because he was stubborn. He thought that he could send his men through the winter.
Yeah. Okay, I agree with you. He made a lot of mistakes, and he attacked Russia a year too early and all that sort of thing. But he, a good friend of mine in Germany actually spent a year in prison in Iran because on behalf of Hitler, he parachuted into northern Iraq to try to negotiate with the Kurds to seize the oil fields. Hitler desperately needed that oil. The reason the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor was because we cut off their oil supply from India.
We can get oil. Here in Alaska, I don't think that we would risk 150,000.
Adam, all the oil in Alaska, if you were to pump it all out right now, all the oil in north in the Anwar region would supply the United States for 6 months. All of the oil.
30 years. Look at the data. 30 years.
No.
You're not looking at the right information.
It's,
30 years.
It's going to take 30 years to pump it. But if you took all of the American oil consumption, we're comparing apples and oranges.
You're not looking at the right data.
The rate at which we're consuming oil from Alaska, if we replace the Anwar, Alaska's oil fields are running dry, Adam. And if you replace those oil fields, they're running dry, and it's freaking out. It's why Ted Stevens has got his panties in a wad, and he's all freaked out because they're losing their cash. And if you replace that with Anwar, yeah, you can pump that for 30 years, and it'll make a small contribution to the American oil supply, 1% maybe. But the Saudis have 25% of the world's oil. We have less than 20% of the world's oil here in the United States. Adam, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Looking for a different way to get relief from sore muscles or achy joints? Now you can get fast, targeted relief from a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream. It targets the pain precisely. Just rub it in right where it hurts. New Bare Muscle and Joint Cream actually increases circulation at the site of pain to soothe that achy soreness fast. Take aim at the pain with a name you trust. Try new Bare Muscle and Joint Cream and get moving again, pain-free. Use as directed.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LAI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Dad, this race car game is awesome. Want to drive?
I love that game, but not with a bad headache.
You want to go home?
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
Can we stay a little longer?
Let's try virtual reality skiing.
Yeah!
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
Drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
really?
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Junior in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Mother, Mother Ocean, I've heard you call. Wanted to sail upon your waters as I was 3 feet tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about... is Iraq Bush's Watergate. And here in a little bit, maybe after the news, I'll share with you a real interesting conversation that Richard Nixon had with H.R. Haldeman that actually has reasonable audio quality. Adam, by the way, in Alabama, I want to thank you for that call. I really appreciate it when people call up and disagree with me. It's nice to get in a good conversation like that. And I would point out to you, Adam, that of all the nations on Earth, including the United States, it appears that the nation that has the largest supply of oil, particularly according to the maps on the Dick Cheney Task Force papers that were just released this week as a result of Judicial Watch's lawsuit, is Iraq. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Raymond from Oregon is on the line. Raymond, welcome to the program. We've got about 2 minutes here left in the hour. Raymond, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Yeah, I just was listening to your segment there with Adam and his doubts about the purpose of our invasion of Iraq, and I wanted to share something. You've mentioned the Project for a New American Century, and that is a very important organization of the neocon movement, neoconservatives. But there's another element of this that has been brought to my attention recently, and this is A name that's well-known in Republican circles, James A. Baker III. He has an Institute for Public Policy at Rice University.
Yeah, the guy who went down to Florida and led the Bash the Vote Counters campaign in 2000. Yep.
Yes, the Velvet
Hammer.
And
the guy who came out against, and he came out against the war in Iraq before the war. I'm sorry, Raymond, finish up real quickly. I'll give you 10 seconds here because we're at the top of the hour.
Okay, let me come back afterwards because it's going to take a little bit longer.
Cool. Hang on then. We got a 5-minute break here with the news. But Raymond, hang on the line. I appreciate it. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes, and we'll be right back.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Another audio tape reportedly featuring the voice of Saddam Hussein has now surfaced. The voice on the tape urges Iraqis to fight for the principles of God if they want to restore a sense of balance in Iraq. Two of Saddam Hussein's daughters, meanwhile, are being given asylum in Jordan now. Officials say the women are guests of King Abdullah for humanitarian reasons. The women's husbands were brothers who defected to Jordan in 1995 and planned to overthrow Saddam Hussein. They returned to Baghdad in 1996 and were executed. North Korea is reportedly agreeing to talks with six other nations on the future of its nuclear weapons program. Although the timing of the talks has not yet been worked out, most diplomats are expressing relief Pyongyang has finally dropped its demand for unilateral talks with Washington. More from correspondent Celia Hatton, who's in Beijing.
North Korea is apparently ready to discuss its nuclear ambitions with friends and foes at the bargaining table. Diplomats from several countries have confirmed that North Korea has agreed to participate in another round of Beijing talks with the U.S., China, South Korea, Japan, and Russia, although it's not clear when the talks will take place. U.S. officials say that North Korea proposed a format for six-way talks that would include its ally, Russia, so that it would feel more comfortable when dealing with its adversaries. Diplomats from China and South Korea have exerted themselves in recent weeks to lure Pyongyang to participate in multilateral talks, after it clearly stated it would only negotiate directly with the United States. Tensions erupted on the Korean Peninsula last October when Pyongyang admitted to Washington that it was operating a secret nuclear weapons program. Celia Hatton, Beijing.
And today's the fifth day of the Texas 11's sojourn to Albuquerque as they continue staying out of Austin, preventing debate over a controversial redistricting bill. San Antonio Senator Letitia Vandepute, who organized the walkout, says they won't waver in their resolve.
We are willing to stay in New Mexico, forfeiting our per diem pay to do the jobs that our constituents elected us to do.
Houston Senator John Whitmire, for his part, says the lines of communication between his group and the lieutenant governor are still open.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it! Yeah. 4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
Yeah. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it back.
Ow, we...
Ask the
girl over there, if she wants to meet this loner, pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The unemployment rate was down last month for the first time in over a year. It was down 0.2% to 6.2%. That was lower than the 6.3% predicted by most economists. More good news yesterday as well, after the government announced the nation's gross domestic product increased a surprising 2.4%. IBM's going to have to change how it takes care of its older employees. A federal court yesterday ruled the company violated age discrimination laws when it changed its pension plan in the 90s. The plan left older workers with smaller benefits when they retired than younger workers when they retired years later.
I have a question for the men out there. What do you think your odds are of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One-A-Day Men's Health Formula. One-A-Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One-A-Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
Foreign ministers from several West African nations are arriving in the Liberian capital, Monrovia, today to offer exile to the nation's embattled president, Charles Taylor. They're also expected to sign off on a peacekeeping force for the war-torn nation. More from correspondent Alistair Wanklin.
The foreign ministers from Liberia's near neighbors have already agreed that more than 3,000 peacekeeping troops should begin deploying next week. But what to do with President Charles Taylor remains undecided. He's reported to have agreed to go into exile a few days after the peacekeepers begin arriving. But he faces charges in the War Crimes Tribunal for Sierra Leone. Meanwhile, humanitarian workers in Liberia say conditions in Monrovia and other districts are deteriorating, with supply lines for food aid now cut off. Alistair Wanklin reporting.
Two U.S. warships should arrive off the coast of Liberia by tomorrow. It's not been decided if any of the 2,300 Marines on board will assist in peacekeeping efforts. A third American warship is expected by Monday. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Mirror, mirror, on my car? Tell me where the others are. Okay, I'm no poet, but I do know a thing or two about adjusting your car's mirrors. And when we come back, I'll reflect.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is Racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
At home, mirrors reveal who's fairest of them all. But in cars, their function's no fairy tale. They're critical to safety. To properly align driver's side mirrors, press your left cheek against the window and adjust the mirror till you barely see the car's left side. For passenger's side, lean toward the center and adjust the mirror until the right side's barely visible. Like Alice through the looking glass, you'll see things you never saw before, like where the other cars are. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of an earlier program, so don't call today, and thanks for listening.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to our third hour in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations from outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system. Channel 145, Sirius Left, and broadcasting live on the Internet from RadioPower.org and IEAmericaRadio.com with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is Tom Hartman, and we have Raymond from Oregon on the phone. Raymond, thanks for hanging on over that break. We were talking about oil, as I recall.
You bet. Tom, yeah, thanks for keeping me on the line here. What I wanted to point out was that in April of 2001, this was well before 9/11, President Bush's cabinet agreed that Iraq remains a destabilizing influence to the flow of oil to international markets from the Middle East. That's a quote from an article that's on the Common Dreams website, and I'm going to be sending that to you along with the document from the Baker Institute at that time. It indicates that at that time, in the spring of 2001, that the Bush administration was keenly aware of the fact that Saddam Hussein was using oil as an instrument in his global diplomatic efforts to destabilize the American energy markets, you know, moving over to attempting to move over to the use of the euro as the default currency for energy transactions.
And encouraging OPEC to do the same.
It looks like what we went into in Iraq was an effort simply to control the energy of future markets in this world.
Right. And there are some, Raymond, in this government who would suggest that there's nothing wrong with that, that that's the right and patriotic thing to do, that we have, as George Bush Sr. said, the American lifestyle is not negotiable. If we want to have SUVs, to hell with the rest of the world, we're going to have our SUVs. And nobody needs to be telling us that we should be putting solar collectors on top of our houses like they do in Finland, or that we should be super insulating our houses like they do in Germany, or that we should be looking at geothermal energy like they have in Iceland, or that we should be putting up windmills like they do in Finland, that they can all take a hike, that we're the United States of America, and if we want to burn oil like crazy and that it might harm the ozone layer, now they can just take a leap off a short pier. We're gonna have our SUVs, and in fact we're gonna make fun of people who don't think that we should have our SUVs with silly songs and funny jokes and things, and just try to turn the whole thing into something that, you know, into low comedy, because it's the patriotic thing, you know. I mean, it's us. Hi, Claudius. We are the empire.
Speaking of low comedy, I would alert your listeners to a new article by Seymour Hersh in the current issue of the New Yorker magazine.
Talking I read part of it yesterday on the air.
Oh, okay, good. Pretty remarkable to see how we can use our special forces to blow up cars hauling out
gasoline, yeah.
Minor quantities of gasoline out of a country.
Into Syria, and we can invade another country. We invaded Syria to do that.
No, absolutely.
And captured some of them and injured some of their guards. We killed 80 people. And it turns out that this has just exacerbated the turf wars between Rumsfeld and the CIA, because the CIA was saying, don't go after them, they're just smuggling gasoline. And Rumsfeld said, no, it might be Saddam. And it turns out they were smuggling gasoline.
Well, when an American administration turns out to be the theater of the absurd, it seems like it's time we better pay some serious attention to what's going on in Washington.
Yeah. I agree. Raymond,
okay,
thank
well,
you
that's
for
what
that.
I had to say, Tom. So I'll send you the information that I've got, and hopefully we can get it into circulation. The American democracy only lives if people understand what's going on.
I agree, and I will share whatever you send to me, and I assume you know how to, in my website, tomhartman.com, my email is on every page on there, and or there's a link to it on every page. And also, we've got a message board on there where you can post a message, and there's a whole bunch of, you know, about 20,000 messages in there. A lot of people read the message board, and you can post links on there as well. Raymond, thank you for the call. I truly appreciate it. June 17th, 1972. Go into the Wayback Machine. Probably some of you listening weren't even born. This was 31 years ago. Five men were arrested at the Watergate office building for breaking into the headquarters of the Democratic National Committee. And there was a congressional investigation. It showed that these five guys, plus James McCord, Gordon Liddy, and Howard Hunt, Altogether, these eight guys, that this was a self-contained thing, that they went no farther than that. The FBI said so. The Congress said so. I mean, there was actually a very thorough investigation of this, or at least what was presented as such. Very thorough investigation. But Woodward and Bernstein got on this thing like a dog on a pant leg and didn't let go. And they just started digging deeper and deeper and deeper in a way that reporters just don't do anymore. We don't have investigative journalism anymore, because when the media got bought out by these huge Republican corporations, these very, very conservative, very large corporations that now control our news media, they say, well, you know, we don't really want to be looking into this stuff. And because it's expensive. Harms profits. Frankly, I'm not even sure that there's a political agenda to it. I think it's just it harms profits, which gets us back to the question of, you know, what kind of democracy do we have when the corporations are calling all the shots and everything is based on whether or not it generates profits. But that's another rant. Anyhow, on June 17th of 1972, you got five guys broke into the Watergate. 6 months later, the first Senate Watergate Committee was established in February of 73. A few months later, in April of 73, the first defection from the White House, John Dean. We played the tape in the last hour of H.R. Haldeman saying to Richard Nixon, if we're going to stop this thing, we got to get to Pat Gray. We got to get to the head of the FBI and tell him, no more investigations. Call off your dogs. And so on April 30th of 1973, the word finally got out. I mean, they finally had Woodward and Bernstein. If you want to see the sort of, you know, semi-fictionalized, I don't know if it's fictionalized, but dramatized, that's the word, story of this. Rent the movie All the President's Men with Dustin Hoffman and, what's his name? The Sundance Film Festival guy. And I know you're all going, what the, that's his name. I mean, you all know his name, and I'm having one of those senior moments. But anyhow, as Nixon decided to do damage control on April 30th, 1973, He went on national television and he said, this is terrible what happened. This should not have happened. This bugging of the Democratic headquarters, this political espionage. Now, still, the story hadn't come out about what these people were doing to, you know, how they had set it up so that in the 72, November 72 election, keep in mind, an election happened over the middle of this, that they had set it up so that Nixon would end up running against McGovern instead of Muskie. I mean, they had actually, the Nixon campaign had actually essentially taken control of the Nixon, of the Democratic Party. And I got a tape to play here for you of Richard Nixon. I'm going to do that. I got a couple of callers on the line I just noticed here, so I'm going to take these calls, and then we'll get back to Richard Nixon. This is such a classic bit of American history. And what it says to me, it is so similar to some of the things that are coming out of the White House right now that it's spooky. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and Tony in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
How you doing?
Hey, Tony.
Thank you for letting more room in the water cooler come to the floor.
Okay.
I just wanted to know your opinion. I just heard you talk to, I think, the gentleman from Alabama, and you were telling him serious information, cerebral information that he can find for himself. How do you, you know, feel, I guess, when you just told him, said, look, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to debase anybody. I'm just telling you facts for your, for you to be more inclusive about your democracy. And he just felt entrenched in his dogma and bias.
Oh, I'm not sure. I think Adam might have had a bit of an open mind, and I think he's probably going to go off and start looking for some of this stuff. And Adam, if you're still listening, commondreams.org has an incredible archive of articles on this topic with all kinds of good source materials and references.
Well, just keep at it. You know, maybe, like I say, he'll open his mind a little bit wider, and those who tend to be on the left and the right there.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Tony. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret in New Mexico, New Mexico.
Yeah.
New Mexico.
Tom?
Is on the phone. Hey, Margaret.
Tom?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, hi. I was calling because some of the things you're saying bring back memories. And I wondered, no one has ever said anything about the Heritage Foundation. And they think it's sort of like a group checking out on things. But that Heritage Foundation was founded years ago, I don't know, maybe 20. But that's mostly a Republican foundation. And it's
it was started by the Senate. Yeah, it was started with money from the Castle Rock Foundation, which was owned by Joe Coors, a very conservative Republican.
Well, you know, actually it acts more like the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and it does things, and we keep getting more of that because Dick Armey, when he retired, he formed an organization to talk about Social Security and everything, and they're Republicans, so they're setting up everything to go work with the corporations.
Well, that seems to be the way things are going. We've actually, I don't disagree. I think that there have been times when the Heritage Foundation has been at odds with the Republican Party, when the Republican Party has been a little more moderate than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly as the Republican Party took a rapid swing to the hard right with the election of Ronald Reagan, the Heritage Foundation's opinions and thoughts were getting more carefully listened to across America.
Well, I sure do like listening to what you're saying because I know what you're saying is true, and I just saw what they were talking about, the Iraq thing, and I had to turn off the television.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
You're welcome, Margaret. Thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. I do appreciate it. So we have Richard Nixon, and I just have a little bit of this clip that I'm going to play here before the break, and then we'll get into some more of it. Because this is interesting, and if you've got kids in the room, put earmuffs over their ears or whatever. Let me give you the first few seconds of it. By the way, let me just tell you, this is Nixon talking to Haldeman. He's just given a speech firing Haldeman, and he calls Haldeman and says,
Hello. Hi. I hope I didn't let you down.
That's
no,
Nixon.
Sir. You got your points over.
This is Haldeman.
Now you got to set right and move on.
Nixon.
Right where you ought to be.
And that's Haldeman.
Well, it's a tough thing, Bob, for you, for John, the rest, but God, I'm never going to discuss this son of a bitching Watergate thing again. Never, 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 never.
And we will see how that turns out. This is the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Is Iraq Bush's Watergate?
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to tell you about InPhone. I hate asking people for directions. It's embarrassing. So instead, I call InPhone. And the nice operator at InPhone gives me driving directions, phone numbers, movie times, or restaurant reservations. So cling to your independence like I do. Call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Jesse sent you. Call now. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too? Sick.
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate
not
me?
True.
You
why,
hate me?
Why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, I love a rainy night, such a beautiful sight. I love to feel the rain on my face, taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Interesting discussion in the chat room. Do we live in a democracy or a republic? We've discussed this before on the program. It's pretty much a matter of public record. Go back and read Federalist Number 10, James Madison. This is prior to 1787 when Federalist Number 10 was published. The dictionary definition, literally the dictionary, you know, Webster's dictionary, Noah Webster, the dictionary definition of republic and democracy were the same. And Madison was trying to sell the Constitution to the American people. And it goes back, frankly, to the discussion, and we talked about this a week ago when we talked about the history of Greek democracy. It goes back to the discussion that Aristotle had, in which he suggested that democracy is bad because it's mob rule. And his solution was to have plutocracy, or oligarchy, that is, a rule by the elite. And the big debate that was going on among the founders was whether we should have a democracy or an oligarchy. John Adams and Alexander Hamilton and the Federalists, who are now called the Republicans, were in favor of an oligarchy, and to some extent they won. They didn't want the Senate to be elected by the people because the people, what John Adams called the rabble, couldn't be trusted. And they didn't want the president to be elected by the people because the people, John Adams called them the rabble, couldn't be trusted. And so the Senate were appointed by state politicians, professional politicians in the state, right up until 1918. And the president was elected by the Electoral College rather than by we the people. And Madison in Federalist Number 10 came up with this convoluted definition of the difference between republic and democracy. And that began the debate. But the reality is that the founders said, okay, the democracy part of it is that we're going to allow some of the people to vote. And now more and more of the people vote. We now have a directly elected Senate as well. And the Republican part of it is that we have a constitution. We're a constitutional republic. And so we are a constitutionally limited democratic republic. We are unlike the Roman republics where everybody couldn't vote. We are unlike the Greek democracy where nobody voted. It was a lottery system. And anyhow, enough about that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in California is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Billy, aren't you just itching to hear more of Richard Nixon?
Oh, well, you can't hear too much of Richard Nixon. and I must say that I was offended when he died at his funeral that people made a fuss about him like he was a good man. Seems to me if you rise to the presidency and then besmirch it and cheat on it and do all those disgusting things, you don't deserve honor. I mean, am I mistaken?
Well,
it should
I think
matter
you make
how
a good
you
point.
Perform, whether or not you are honored at your death. Not just
yeah, I mean, there's the old point that Hitler made,
election.
Billy, that history is written by the victors. You know, it's
exactly.
that there. I am not a Republican, and I have never supported Richard Nixon. And I have to say that there were some things that Nixon did that were very good for this country.
Well, yeah, you know, yeah, there's some things.
China,
he didn't drop poison into the water. But in general, the guy wasn't good for this country. He lied. He had some sort of secret plan for the war. It was a lie. He tried to steal the election. And by the way, that's what I wanted to. That's what I called to discuss.
That was the
it's
big.
It's not
thing.
A
that's,
republic.
You know,
it's not a democracy. It's a kleptocracy.
Okay.
And in fact, I mean that in both senses. It is a kleptocracy in that the people who are there to steal. And in fact, they've stolen your republic and your democracy because between gerrymandering and everything else that they do, the elections mean nothing. So
well,
we have a kleptocracy. It's been stolen.
Billy, I still think elections mean something. And I agree that, you know, with this Tom DeLay and his thing in Texas and Colorado where he's re-rigging the voting districts.
But what?
Illegally.
That's what say it cold. That is cheating Americans out of their real chance to vote for whom they want and not have the people they don't want are already in it, control what happens, isn't it?
There you go. It's stealing democracy. You're absolutely right. They are trying to steal our democracy, and they've
Thank
been
you.
Doing it ever since Richard Nixon. I'm right there with you, Billy. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
the
buddy.
Call. I appreciate it. This is the Tom Hartman Program. Stick around. We'll return in just a few moments.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
As Liberia's civil war rages in and around the capital city of Monrovia, population 1.3 million, the few aid workers who remain on the scene can do little more than hunker down. The UN pulled out its staff last week, abandoning more than 10,000 tons of food and supplies in the process. But non-governmental agencies like Doctors Without Borders and the Red Cross are still in country. They can't help much, though, as going outside is only safe during breaks in the shelling, and there aren't very many of those. So far, more than 500 people have been killed in the battle for Monrovia, although the aid workers fear the toll is much higher as organized medical care all but collapsed when the UN left.
Workers at Tower Automotive in Milwaukee, Wisconsin are poised for a strike. Contracts covering seven unions at the auto parts maker expire today, and on Tuesday, the plant's largest union authorized a walkout by a nearly unanimous vote. Earlier this year, Tower managers announced plans to move the production of Ford Ranger truck frames to Ohio, leaving many to speculate about the future of their factory.
All the buildings used to be used. Now they got empty buildings. And that was just unheard of back in Milwaukee's industrial history.
Tim McMurtry retired last year after working for Tower's predecessor since 1967. He says the Milwaukee factory is a shell of its former self.
1967, it wasn't Tower, it was A.O. Smith. And at A.O. Smith, we had something like 5,000 workers. And it was three shifts, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it was just plenty of work, plenty of work. Everybody thought it would last that way forever.
Now only about 1,000 workers remain at the plant. In addition to guarantees on job security, the steelworkers are looking for a better offer on wages, health care, and pension benefits.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All the world, all the sound, easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Listen to you, listen, that's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people got to be free.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 27 minutes before the hour. And if you want to see real democracy, look at what's happening in California right now. That's the mob rule aspect of it. A lot of people are questioning whether that ever should have been put into law, but it was something the populists were pushing for back around the turn of the century because the republic had been stolen by the kleptocrats, as Billy so well points out. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Philip in Florida is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program, Philip.
Hi. I have some experience when I used to live in California. I only moved a year ago. But I have some experience with this initiative issue in terms of signature gathering. And in the middle 80s, a group of us were trying to stop unbridled development in a place called Orange County. And we were trying to qualify a ballot measure for the county and also for their city of San Juan Capistrano to limit development to developers who would pay for the infrastructure that the development was going to create. Well, the developers and the board of supervisors who ran the county were in bed together. In fact, right. One had to resign rather than be indicted for taking bribes.
Yeah, it's kind of the way it happened in Florida for years and years, too. I mean, throughout the 50s and 60s and 70s. John D. McDonald used to write about that a lot.
Republican conservative politicians in Orange County never lose in an election. They usually lose their office as a function of taking bribes and then being forced to resign. But going back to what I was going to say, we had to sign, you know, we would get something like, I think, 10 to 15 signatures per legal size page. At the very bottom of the page, it said we had to sign a legal document, a statement that says we ascribe that we are residents of Orange County and registered to vote and under penalty of law and all this other stuff, and then sign it before we submitted it. Now, through the... through the suggestion of the developers who opposed us, the county checked every one of these, made sure that if you lived in San Diego County, okay, and you were involved in this, that all your signatures would be disqualified. This guy brought in signature gatherers from out of state.
Okay, you're talking now about the Gray Davis recall. About this guy who had been arrested twice for stealing cars, then started a car alarm company, made millions of dollars, bought himself a political campaign, got a seat in the House of Representatives. What was his name? Issa?
Yeah.
And then went out and said, okay, I'll pay a buck a signature. Because there's been ballot initiatives to recall every single governor since 1915 or 18, whatever year it was this thing first went on the books in California, the ability to recall. And there have actually been two state representatives and several judges that have successfully been recalled.
But the kicker is they had one standard for people, grassroots people, and another standard, you know, for the big people.
Statewide. Yeah, and I don't think that the guys who wrote the law. I mean, let's cut them a little slack. This law was written a long time ago, and I don't think that they ever imagined that anybody would be so brazen as to say, "I'll pay a dollar a signature if you'll go out and get signatures." And then people, I mean, we've had reports on this show of people who've walked into supermarkets and they've had somebody outside saying, "Would you like to sign a petition to keep our teachers employed?" And they go, "Sure." And they look at it, and it says, you know, in big letters, petition to keep our teachers employed, or something similar to that.
Yeah, but when you read
and
the fine print, another
that's
story.
Right. Down at the bottom, in 9-point type, it says recall petition. And,
right.
And they confront these people, and they say, "This is the Gray Davis recall petition." Well, yeah, you know, "Why didn't you tell me that?" Well, you know, I get paid a dollar a signature.
That's right.
$10.
And, that's right.
And I don't think that when they passed this law, they ever thought that any politician would be such a corrupt, so corrupt and so willing to corrupt and subvert democracy or
that's
republic
right.
or whatever you want to call it, as this guy, Issa or Issa.
Yeah.
This is filthy.
But, you know, what's ironic is this is about the only thing that the Republicans ever done to lower unemployment, by paying people a buck a signature.
Only for a brief term.
The thing is, unfortunately, Davis set himself up. I used to work at Salinas Valley State Prison, a high security prison in California.
Yeah.
And that union was charged their members something like $65 a month membership dues.
Mm-hmm.
But they got them contracts so that these guys who were basically had, you know, GED certificates. Some of them were quite literally working at Walmart before they got a job working in the prison, making $80,000 a year. And teachers like me were making less than half of that.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase here, Philip.
And the bottom line is he was beholden to that union because they helped get him elected.
Yeah, and I'm sure many others. I mean, the whole politics breeds strange bedfellows. Whether it's the unions or the corporations, you've got it's a mess all the way around. Philip, thanks for the call and for making the point. I appreciate it. And yeah, I think, you know, no doubt, Gray Davis has shot himself in the foot in many, many ways. And you know, whether or not he deserves to be recalled, I don't know. I don't live in California. I don't have a dog in that fight, as they say. But I do have a dog in the fight of democracy in America. And I'm wondering, is Iraq going to be Bush's Watergate? Here's, again, Richard Nixon talking to H.R. Haldeman. He has just fired Haldeman on national television and pinned all the blame for Watergate on Haldeman. This is before it comes out that Nixon was actually the one behind all this. And he's engaged in this huge cover-up. And he's now sucking up to Haldeman on the telephone because Haldeman has the power to destroy Nixon and ultimately does.
Don't you agree? Yes, sir. You've done it now, and you've laid out your
position.
That's
Haldeman.
You've laid out your, you've taken your steps. You've put that
interesting thing, you know, we haven't heard of the only cabinet officer that is called, and this is 50 minutes after the thing is over, is Cap Weinberger, bless his soul.
Good old Casper Weinberger.
We're waiting to see what the polls show. Got a strong cabinet, isn't it?
You better check and be sure, because that they may, you know, we've had a...
No. They know. They know who to call, you know. They know they...
Nixon the paranoid.
In any event, I just want you to know that Cap called, and he was all the way.
Good.
But let me say, you're a strong man, God damn it, and I love you. And I, you know, I love John.
John Ehrlichman.
And by God, keep the faith. You're going to win this son of a bitch.
Absolutely.
You notice what I said about the violence and so forth on the other side.
Yeah.
So you took a big swipe at the Democrats in his speech where he blamed it all on Haldeman, fired Haldeman and Ehrlichman, and then essentially said it was all caused by the Democrats. And he was pointing to the anti-war demonstrations and stuff. And
I mean, there were some intricacies in this that only the sophisticates will understand.
I got those, and I want to get the text because there's some things to work on from there. But
right.
That we can build.
I thought it was good, too, to sort of end on what I deeply felt, you know, the
Now, here's where you get this is. The Republicans are so good at this, the playing the religion thing, you know, I'm the most religious guy in the world, you know,
But just note, you know, yeah. God bless yeah, America. Really. I mean, I'm sure it must have, you know, driven you up the wall. Didn't drive me up the wall, but I felt that way.
I know that I'm all for that. Completely agree.
That's nice of all of them.
I don't know whether you can call and get any reactions and call me back, you know, like the old style.
So now he's asking Haldeman for a favor. Haldeman says, no, I don't think so.
Don't call God damn soul. The hell with it. Let me just say, getting this call from me, from you, and I haven't heard from any cabinet officer except Weinberger an hour afterwards, and thank God, and no staff member.
Well, now when I called, the board said they were instructed not to put any calls through. So
the hell with that. I told them to put all the calls through.
Well, that may be why you haven't gotten them, though, because that's
all right.
What you told me.
I'll change it.
All right.
Fine, but God bless you, boy. Okay. God bless you. I love you, you know.
Okay.
Like my brother.
Yeah, well,
all right, boy.
On and up from
keep the faith.
Right.
Yeah, talking to the guy he just fired and publicly disgraced, and Haldeman at one point said, I'm going to get the transcripts. There's something in there I can work with. What Nixon didn't realize is that what Haldeman was going to work with was the book he was writing inside the Nixon White House that laid all this stuff out. But keeping in mind that of all the crimes that Richard Nixon committed or on his behalf, that you know, people like Bernard Barker and G. Gordon Liddy and these guys, E. Howard Hunt, that they committed on his behalf, crimes against democracy, let's say, subverting the democratic process, successfully changing who the Democratic candidate was going to be so that they could have a candidate that they knew they could beat. It reminds me in the last election about the report that came out of, I believe it was New Mexico. The Green Party said that the Republicans had come in and given them $100,000 to put a Green on the ballot, to split the ticket with the Dems so that the Republican could win. This is the kind of stuff that that deserves to be held up. So now we have the situation where the timeline of Iraq starts in 1981. In 1981 and 1982, Iraq actually did buy uranium, yellow cake uranium, from Niger. 858 drums of it. Now, why isn't everybody talking about that? Why isn't George Bush talking about that? Well, the reason why is because Donald Rumsfeld set up the sale. Remember when he went over and shook hands with Saddam? This was during the Reagan administration. We helped make this happen. We were arming this guy. We were selling him. When he gassed his own people, he was our friend. We said nothing about it. Not a word. Then in early 2001, Niger and Iraq are said to be working on an export deal to get some more money, according to British intelligence. Now, this is interesting. Let me just digress for just a second from this. This is just a piece by Wes Vernon on Newsmax, a right-wing website. He says, most of the 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, but there is no CIA station in Saudi Arabia. Furthermore, this is a situation that goes back to the 1973 oil embargo. It started with President Richard Nixon. The U.S. then, quote, cut a deal with Saudi Arabia saying, you invest your money and buy our arms and we'll take your oil, no questions asked, end quote. Quote, this from Robert Baer, this on Newsmax.com, the right-wing website, conservative website, quote, the CIA has no sources in Saudi Arabia, none. They closed their eyes. Too risky. We must not offend the Saudis. They control 25% of the world's oil. And, of course, back then, Iraq was right now, Iraq is controlling an enormous amount of oil. Some are thinking that in the oil industry, and you find speculation about this on some of the oil industry websites, that Iraq actually has more oil than Saudi Arabia. In fact, when you look at Dick Cheney's documents that came out as a result of this Judicial Watch lawsuit by Larry Klayman, you discover that about a third of Iraq has never been explored. And they've divided the southern the part of Iraq that abuts up against Kuwait. the part that Kuwait was running slant wells into that was what caused the 1991 invasion of Kuwait. When Saddam went to April Gillespie, our person there, and said, you know, I'm thinking of attacking Kuwait because they're running these slant wells in and they're sucking my oil out. And she said, no problem with us, and he went ahead and did it. And this is, you know, New York Times. It's all a matter of public record. And that there is all this oil in the southwestern end of Iraq that has not even been explored for. And Cheney, in their energy report, had divided this part, this unexplored part, into these nine regions, and they were determining which companies in which countries would have the right to explore that area. This in these documents. And so we look at the timeline and we see that then in February of 2002, the CIA sends Joe Wilson over to Niger to investigate the claims of uranium. And on it goes. And that's where we jump to the question of should Bob Novak and his two administration sources be prosecuted in this thing? Is this the unraveling that is happening? The same way Watergate unraveled. The way that Nixon tried to get out of it was by playing pin the tail on the donkey, pin the blame on somebody else. He tried to nail John Dean. He tried to nail John Ehrlichman. He tried to blame John Mitchell. He tried to blame H.R. Haldeman. He tried to blame Segretti. He tried to blame E. Howard Hunt. He tried to blame everybody except himself. And now we've got this situation where Joe Wilson is hired by the vice president's office to go over to Niger and determine if Iraq actually tried to get any uranium there. He goes over there, he does his investigation, he comes back, he reports, this is before the State of the Union speech, and says, no, there's none there. The administration chooses to ignore it. A couple of weeks ago, he writes an op-ed piece in the New York Times in which he lays this out. He says, you know, Bush... These are not his words, but I don't have it in front of me. But he essentially says Bush lied to us when he said that they were trying to. He says, because I went and checked it out, and I told these guys, they knew it. They knew it was a lie. Yeah, he said the British said it, but that's a lie by misdirection. And so what do? It turns out Joe Wilson's wife is a CIA agent who specializes in weapons of mass destruction, and so Bob Novak writes a column, his newspaper column, in which he cites two high-placed administration officials, and he names the wife of Joe Wilson and says she's a CIA agent. He outs an undercover CIA agent. All of her sources are now potentially compromised. This is an article in the Financial Times, a very conservative publication in England. The U.S. envoy who first revealed doubts about intelligence showing that Saddam Hussein had tried to buy uranium said on Tuesday he has become the target of a major smear campaign orchestrated by the White House. They illegally disclosed to a reporter that his wife was an operative for the CIA working in counterproliferation division. This is a felony. 10 years in jail for doing this. What should happen to Bob Novak? You're with the Tom Hartman program where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between five, look at the horses, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Hey, Mom, are you ready for some good news? Tax rebate checks will be arriving over the next 3 weeks. Are you ready for some more? Sears will cash your rebate check free of charge with any purchase. And since you'll be in the neighborhood, why not start saving on back-to-school items? Right now, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bonco, and Mud. In styles like low-rise, boot-cut, button-fly, straight, carpenter, and stretch. Just bring your tax rebate check to any Sears, because savings like these are too good to pass up. Sale ends August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You check the batteries in your smoke detector and the air in your tires to protect your family. But how about your credit report? Experts recommend you check it regularly, too. And FreeCreditReport.com makes it easy. Log on today, and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. A surprise in your credit report could cause you to be turned down for a loan or a credit card. See your credit report online instantly. Make sure you get the credit you deserve with FreeCreditReport.com.
Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network. Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Former United States ambassador says that naming his wife Valerie Plame, P-L-A-M-E, as a CIA agent, naming her in this way would have compromised every operation, every relationship, every network with which she had been associated in her entire career. This is the stuff of Kim Philby and Aldrich Ames, end quote. And as Korn, don't have his first name here, but Paul Krugman mentions this too. Under the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982, it is a felony with a punishment of up to 10 years in prison and a $50,000 fine for naming a CIA agent who is working in the field and compromising them like this. And so what does Bob Novak say in his article in the Sun-Times? He says, quote, Wilson never worked for the CIA, but his wife, Valerie Plame, is an agency operative on weapons of mass destruction, end quote. This BushWarsBlog.com points out that at the time that this first came out, if you plugged Valerie Plame into Google, you only got about four hits back. And he said, if you start seeing a whole bunch of hits attached to her name, you can know that this thing is going to start to unravel. This may be that perhaps they have gone over the top. Way over the top. And it's not just Joe Wilson and his wife. Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois. This from Reuters yesterday. Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois charged that the White House had floated a bogus story that he had disclosed classified information regarding Iraq's suspected weapons of mass destruction. Quote, this is the United States Senator says, quote, the White House allegations were in fact false and inaccurate. Sadly, what we have here is a continuing pattern by this White House. If any member of this Senate questions this White House policy, be prepared for the worst. Is democracy at risk? Has it been stolen? Are we seeing the patterns of Watergate repeated? I report, you decide. Give it some thought. We'll talk some more about it tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today on the Tom Hartman Program. Tune back in tomorrow, same time, same place.
The most mad Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific.